Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now the third film in our Oscar-nominated documentary series, Invisible War. It's about the shockingly high rate of sexual assault in the U.S. military and the totally inadequate way the military deals with it. And while we didn't plan it this way, it seems fitting to have this conversation on the day when the Senate Armed Services Committee is voting to confirm or not a new Secretary of Defense. My guests are the writer and director of the film, Kirby Dick, and one of the producers, Amy Ziering. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'll start just by noting that there are some incredibly disturbing statistics in this film. 20% of female soldiers are sexually assaulted. It says somewhere around 16,000 women in the military are assaulted each year. 80% don't report it. In 25% of cases, the person they would report to is the perpetrator. And it's not even just females. Men are sexually assaulted, too. How did you come to take on this topic, Kirby?
Well, we read an article, did additional research. We're surprised that, according to the we're surprised by the numbers. According to the Department of Defense, 19,000 men and women are sexually assaulted each year. That means hundreds of thousands over the last several decades. And we were equally surprised how unknown this was, how effectively the military had kept this under wraps and covered up.
And here are a few of the women featured in your film talking in this 40-second montage about their experiences. They are meeting here because they're filing a lawsuit against the military. Listen.
I read somewhere it was like 92% are involuntarily discharged after reporting.
Right. I don't know anybody who's actually been raped and been able to stay in the military if they reported it.
I wanted to stay in. I loved the job that I did. It made me. They made me who I was. I still wanted to do those things because that's what did make me proud. And they stripped me of everything that I did have. And it was like, that was my only chance of being proud anymore. And then they just hand me my papers. And then I was...
If I have a difficult time with anything, it's about the fact that I had an almost 10-year career, which I was very invested in. And I gave that up to report a sex offender who was not even put to justice or put on the registry. And he's probably doing the same thing right now.
So that clip from the film Invisible War, correction, that was not a montage. They were in conversation with each other in that clip. But again in the film, you see that while the sexual assault is bad enough, what follows for these victims is worse. They are usually discharged. Sometimes they are charged with adultery, even if they're not married and the man is. One woman is denied coverage for injuries she sustained by her assailant over a year of petitioning the VA for that health coverage. And only a very small percentage of the assailants are ever punished. How is this possible, Amy, that there could be this kind of failure in a military that seems to function otherwise?
I wish I had an answer to that. It was kind of staggering to discover it ourselves that as bad as the assaults were, what happened in the aftermath was, by orders of magnitude, even more horrific and sort of a Kafka-esque parallel universe. I mean, whenever we show the film, everyone says, I don't recognize this. I don't even comprehend or understand it. I mean, the reactions across the board, more often than not, when someone reports, is to sort of blame the victim themselves, try and cover up the crime and drive the person out as opposed to prosecuting the perpetrator. Your answer as to why this happens in this way, there's certain perfect storm conditions in the military which are more conducive to this environment and these kind of things occurring than others.
Here's another clip from the film of a commander who's also the husband of Lieutenant Ariana Clay. She was sexually assaulted while stationed at the prestigious Marine Barracks, Washington. This is her husband.
This is an organization that gives commanders an unbelievable amount of power. And I felt it as a lieutenant in Iraq. It's scary. You appoint the prosecution, you appoint the defense, you appoint the investigator, you're in charge of the police force, you're in charge of the community. You own everything. You are a judge, you are a jury, you are executioner.
And as you note, and as I said already, in 25% of cases, the person you would report the crime to, your commander, is the perpetrator. So I guess independent oversight is the key. And Kirby, I know the outgoing Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has acknowledged there is a huge problem. He screened your film And shortly thereafter, he made policy changes. So do you think your film has already had an impact?
Oh, it certainly has had an impact in multiple ways. Not only did he elevate the decision to investigate and prosecute these crimes to the level of colonel or Navy captain, but also the military has been using the film for part of its sexual assault training. And as of this date, it's estimated that over 250,000 men and women have seen The Invisible War.
And I wonder if the Defense Department also shifted its attitude about the root causes of rape in the military. Here's another clip. It starts with a public service announcement, and then you'll hear the voice of Susan Burke, a lawyer representing victims.
Are you by yourself? Where's your buddy?
I didn't think I needed one.
Sexual assault is preventable. Are you doing your part?
And so this notion that, you know, essentially like anyone could be a rapist, we all have to be on alert, it misses an opportunity to take real steps towards preventing rape. If they actually had systems of accountability that prosecuted and imprisoned perpetrators, you would get rid of a lot of the rapes right away.
So, Amy, what that attorney is reacting to is, I guess, that the public service announcement makes it seem like it's the victims or the potential victims who need to be more careful.
Yeah, there has been a history of the wrong focus in addressing this issue within the military, where they would actually focus on how to have the potential victims prevent this crime, as opposed to actually going after the perpetrators and prosecuting them, which would sort of really mostly take care of the issue. So it's that misplacement and sort of poor analysis of the situation that has led to sort of the widespread epidemic.
Though both things must be true, right? Prosecution must take place and prevention at the institutional level, but people also have to be careful in the military as in civilian life.
Yes, but it really isn't this case where if only, you know, people were more careful, this wouldn't be happening. It's not about that at that level. These perpetrators are really skilled and canny, and it's not something that usually happens in public areas where people can sort of intervene or because someone's careless. That's just a huge, huge misrepresentation of the crime.
And the film notes, Kirby, that 15% of incoming recruits have attempted or committed rape before entering the military, which is twice the rate in the civilian population. How would you even know a statistic like that? And
well,
B, is there a larger cultural problem here?
excuse me. These were from anonymous studies. So the military did not know that these men had committed these crimes when they came in. The problem is that most assaults, mostly sexual assaults, are committed by serial perpetrators who assault again and again. And the military has yet to improve its investigation and prosecution of these serial predators, which is why the problem continues.
Do you think that Panetta's decision to allow women to serve in every military role now, including combat roles, will change anything, Amy?
Yeah, I do. I mean, in the long run, absolutely. I mean, whenever there's an increase in equal rights to different members of any institution, that definitely improves across the board and alleviates, you know, episodes of discrimination. So, in the long run, I think it's a very good thing. In the short run, I think that obviously they really need to address the issue of sexual assault and so that all our soldiers in combat or not are equally protected and safe.
We have a few minutes with the writer and director of the film Invisible War, Kirby Dick, and one of the producers, Amy Ziering. This is one of the five films nominated for the Best Documentary Oscar. We're talking to producers and directors of all five of those films on five consecutive shows. We're at number three. We have just a couple of minutes left. A group of female soldiers who were sexually assaulted joined a lawsuit against the military. But your film reports that in December of 2011, the court dismissed the case and deemed rape an occupational hazard of being in the military. Unbelievable if that was the language. The case was appealed. Do you have an update on that case?
Oral arguments are waiting to be heard in March. That was not the exact language of the court. The language is that it was incident to military service, which is essentially the same thing. Something that happened to these women happened while they were in service, and therefore they could not sue. Those civil rights were denied.
And do you have any feeling one way or the other, Amy, about Chuck Hagel? Would he be good for this cause as defense secretary? Or do you have any indication from him one way or another that he takes it as seriously as Panetta did or as seriously as you would need him to?
Well, the only hopeful indication is that during the confirmation hearings, Senator Richard Blumenthal asked Chuck Hagel if he had seen The Invisible War, and his response was yes. So I'm hoping that, you know, he's this is now, I mean, I'm confident now, A, it's on his radar, and B, you know, we're going to try and, you know, keep those lines of communication open and, you know, make inroads with his offices like we did with Secretary Panetta's and keep pressure on this issue. So I don't really know, but we're hopeful that he will be as proactive on this issue as Secretary Panetta was.
Now, I'll say, though, I haven't seen all five films. I've seen some of them, and I've read a lot about all of them. My personal prediction is that you're going to win. And
wow.
So if you do, who goes on stage, and what will you say?
I hope that survivors, or two of the women in our film, can come on stage. I would love for Ariana and Corey Choka. That would just be absolutely amazing if they could come up with us. And if they spoke, I mean, I think that would be incredibly moving, and I hope your prediction's true.
I'm sure
it certainly would make a great impact in Washington if the film were to win.
How so? What do you think the additional impact could be over what the film has already done?
Well, every time there's attention paid to this film anywhere in the country, particularly at this sort of high level of publicity, activity happens in Washington. And so even the nomination generated a lot of activity. Certainly if the film were to win the award, I think there would be additional activity.
Kirby,
yeah, absolutely. It would definitely elevate this to another level and really help fuel the advocacy campaign of the film. So we're hopeful on that level. I mean, awards are nice, but that this could really give this issue an attention, widespread global and national attention, would be a phenomenal thing.
Writer and director Kirby Dick, Amy Ziering, one of the producers of Invisible War. Good luck at the Oscars, and again, congratulations on a very important film, and thank you for coming on the show a second time to talk about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our series on all five Oscar-nominated documentaries continues on tomorrow's show. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.